This morning, we have two scriptural passages that mark incredibly significant moments in our history as a people. Both of them mark significant moments where we became people of the book, of the Bible, of Scripture. And I want to review both of them with you. The first happens at around 450 BC. And if you want to picture when that is, that's about the same time Socrates is about 20 years old at that time, wandering around Athens. So that's what's going on the other side of the pond there. And it's the priest Ezra reads from the book. And the scripture says, "So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that people understood the reading." A very important moment about the book. But then we fast forward about 500 years later, 30 AD, and in the Gospel of Luke it says, "And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him." These are two great moments in the history of Scripture. One of them is a moment of completion, and the other is a moment of fulfillment. Completion and fulfillment. So what you need to picture is that Ezra and Nehemiah are the chief priest and essentially the governor of Jerusalem, Judah, Benjamin, what's left of the people of Israel, shortly after the end of the exile. They've come back from the Babylonian exile. And one of the things that happened in the Babylonian exile is that they had been forcibly removed from their land and their temple had been destroyed. So if you don't have a land, you don't have a temple, you don't have a king, how are you a people? What binds you together? So what happens is they already had some writings, but because they had nothing else, the writings become absolutely essential for them. So they really pay a lot of attention to getting those writings right. Now they have returned to their land, and how are they going to continue? Well, one of the things that they do is they finalize what the law looks like. And in this moment that we are hearing about in the book of Nehemiah, the prophet Ezra reads aloud the Torah. Now, I want you to just have a little tactile exercise. Will you take out your pew Bible? Take out your pew Bible and go to page 168. Page 168 brings you to the very end of the book of Deuteronomy. And just pinch from the very beginning of the book to page 168, because I want you to have in your hand that bunch of pages when I say this to you, that the words here are the exact same words that Ezra read aloud at 450 BC. The text has remained the same the entire time. Think about that. Think about that continuity of text, of story, of the law. The thing I want you to know is that this is the sine qua non, the without which not, the necessary but not sufficient teaching for us to understand who we are before God. We need to know this story. We need to know these words. We need to know these laws. The very first heresy of the church to be successfully beaten back was Marcionism. Marcion was one of many people who was trying to preach earnestly, Jesus, and he said, "You know what? All we need, folks, is Luke, Acts, and the letters of Paul." And very early, the church scratched its head and said, "You know what? Those books don't make any sense unless we have those other books, too. Who's this Moses guy that they keep talking about? We need to know." And so they said, "No, no, no. We need to revere these words as well." So Ezra, this moment when Ezra reads it is a moment that crystallizes, that completes the law that we still have with us today. Now, so that's the completion. Now I want to get to fulfillment, but fulfillment I want to get to by going to Isaiah chapter 61. So if you will please go to page 603, On page 603, we have the book of Isaiah. We're in 2 Isaiah, the second half of it, where it says these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news." And I'll just stop right there. It continues. But these are the words that Jesus reads in this moment in our gospel today. And he says out loud, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled for you." You may remember that in the Gospel of Matthew, one of the things that's regularly said, it's repetitious, this was to fulfill what had been written in the prophets. So what happens is that in the New Testament, the words of the Old Testament are fulfilled. And specifically, they are fulfilled in Jesus. Now, I hope to have you remember two words today. Latent and patent and latent. Excuse me, I was pronouncing it wrong. Patent and latent. Because I want you to remember an ancient teaching that I take to be true and I think about a lot, but I have to think to remember it. So latent, do you know what latent is? It's like an oak tree is latent in an acorn, right? And do you know what patent means? Patent doesn't mean something that you get from the government to protect your invention. I mean, it does mean that. But it also means obvious, plain, apparent. So here's the thing to remember. The New Testament is latent in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is patent in the New Testament. Do you get it? The New Testament is latent. It's waiting to fulfill what it is in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is patent, becomes clear what it actually means in the New Testament. Now, that's a simple formulation that I'm sure is much more elegant than the original Latin when Augustine first said it. But that's as close as we can get in English to the sense of it. And I hope that you take it in, because whenever I teach Bible study, precisely this question comes up repeatedly, especially when we're reading the Old Testament, where you have to read with two lenses. You have to read it so that you get the plain sense of the scripture, what it meant when it was actually written, what it was actually probably referring to. But then also activate your spiritual imagination to say, well, what does this, doesn't fully make sense until Jesus comes. And then what does it make sense, how does it make sense when we think of Jesus fulfilling these words? All of them. Some of them, like the one that we read from Isaiah, you can make a connection pretty easily. There are others that require a little bit more imagination, and I don't mean that in a bad way. They require some deeper reflection. And, you know, Augustine himself says, look, sometimes it's really easy, sometimes it's not. But remember, always be guided by the principle of love, and eventually you'll get there. And he admits himself, and he is one of the three or four greatest minds of all time, in my humble opinion, that there are things that puzzled him until the hour of his death. So, you know, we're going to be puzzling about this from now on. But go forward with the belief that the New Testament is latent in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is patent in the New Testament, and interpret in love, and it's a great adventure. Now, so we have the moment of completion. We have one of the moments of fulfillment. But I want to take us one step further to the moment of crucifixion and resurrection. I'm going to quote for maybe the third or fourth time a passage that I never tire of, because I believe it to be true and I don't understand what it means simultaneously. So I'm going to share it with you, and happy to pass it around afterwards if you want to reflect on it yourself a little more deeply. Some words by the 20th century theologian Austin Farrar. "When we pray, we must begin by conceiving God in full and vigorous images. But we must go on to acknowledge the inadequacy of those images and to adhere nakedly to the imageless truth of God. The crucifixion of the images in which God is first shown to us is a necessity of prayer, because it is a necessity of life. The promise of God's dealing with us through grace can be set before us in nothing but images, for we have not yet experienced the reality. When we proceed to live the promises out, the images are crucified by the reality, slowly and progressively, never completely, and not always without pain. Yet, the reality is better than the images. Now, here it is. Jesus Christ clothed himself, or one might say fulfilled, in all the images of messianic promise, and in living them out, crucified them. But the crucified reality is better than the figures of prophecy. This is very God and life eternal, whereby the children of God are delivered from idols. I believe there is no shortcut. First, we must know the law and prophets. We must know the images that Jesus himself fulfills. And then we have to believe that Jesus, in fact, fulfills each one of those images. But then there's this next mysterious step where we follow Jesus all the way to the cross, where he is crucified, and then beyond. Amen.